it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
One of us had Harper plus 3,800 for two home runs that day.
Oh, enough with the betting.
I didn't.
It's the Red October Rally. We are at Stateside Live at the Sports Complex in South Philly. With us, not just Ruben Amaro, Tom McCarthy, both from The Call, NBC Sports Philly.
The dream
pleasure,
team.
Pleasure to have you both at the same time.
Thanks for having us. I should have worn my hat, Ruben, your podcast hat.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
I
like your head.
My head got burnt today. Over
oh, the no.
Park, by the way.
Yeah.
The script's starting already, huh?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, now that I have you both here.
Yeah.
Jack presents as the baseball expert on our show.
Really?
Yeah.
He presents.
So, what? Both of you. What is your level of respect for Jack's baseball acumen and his knowledge?
Rube is already laughing.
Yeah. Well, Rube first.
Well, I've had some exchanges with Jack at times. We've had some differences of opinion, some text exchanges from time to time. No, Jack. Listen, the beauty of Jack is that he loves baseball, and he lives and dies with every pitch, which I absolutely love about him. And he's very knowledgeable.
Okay, yeah, very, we need no, to get no, that. Very, we all know he loves baseball.
He's very knowledgeable. I don't agree with everything that he says, but but that's what makes the world
I
go
around. I
thought
he was
right?
a hockey guy. I didn't even know he was a baseball guy.
If they started Jackie Pucks. That was a bit, though. That was a bit.
I don't know if you know this, but we do occasionally play clips of the broadcast on our show.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of want to know, we're going to play a few. And I want to know, you know, T-Mac, when you hear this, what is going through your head? And then second, we'll get to Ruben over here, what is going through his. So these are some of our more regular clips that we've played on the show. Buzz, why don't you hit the first one?
And it was the hardest wood I had ever touched.
I knew that
one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about Pete Rose's bat.
That's correct.
Mizuno, right?
It was the hardest wood I ever touched.
That's exactly right.
Without question.
You know what I do in that case?
Yep.
Here's the 0-1 pitch.
Well, that's my favorite. Rube will say it, and T-Mac will be like, all right, the 2-1 count. Perfect.
It goes in, and I'm like, okay, how do we get off this one?
Yeah. Buzz?
So you do hear it.
Yeah, you hear it?
Oh, I hear it.
Okay, all right. Buzz, go ahead.
After last night's game, he comes sauntering in. He's like, where's my headset?
No, wait a minute.
He was the most arrested. And he's the only one that was.
Hold on. He did not saunter. He sprinted him.
Oh, well, I didn't see the sprint part.
He sprinted disheveled.
With vigor.
With, like, TV light sweat on his
really?
Forehead.
Yeah, yes.
He was...
I came
absolutely.
In hard. Hard and fast.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
That was on the radio.
That's Friday Night Round.
That was Friday Night
Round. Yeah, but you can say that on Friday Night Round.
Of course you can.
After 10 p.m.
Well after 11.
All right, I think we have a couple more. Buzz?
I don't know what happened during the president's race. I'm not sure what the...
What the theme was?
I don't know what the theme was.
Oh, I think it's ladies' night. That might have something to do with it. Is it ladies' night?
Well, it is ladies' night, yes, but I don't know. I just don't know.
Why the man dressed up as a lady was banging on presidents and knocking them out with a chair?
Ruben, what are you doing?
I have things to say.
Yeah.
I have things to express.
Obviously, things pent up.
Yeah. Buzz, do we have one more?
I always like to use the knob to work against, and I used to... like to have the whole hand on it. A lot of guys have their pinky off of it. I'm not sure why. I think it's a preference.
That was on our end.
Yeah. We were talking about holding the bat.
Yeah. Oh, is that what it is?
Hold the knob, yes.
Some guys like their pinky off of it.
Yeah. It's personal preference.
I'm not sure if it's Ruben that has the problem here.
Great point. Yeah. Great point.
Yeah, so
we have like a 10-year-old mind.
Yeah. This is what we get paid to do.
Yeah.
Speaking of what you guys get paid to do, you know, you're not only telling people what happens in the game, you're telling a story, right? And not only every game has a story, but every season, I think, has a story too. If I were to ask you guys that so far, if you were to tell the story of this season, you know, what has this season been about, do you think? You know, what is the narrative arc of this story so far?
I think part of it is they've kind of found their way. And what I mean by that is that they've adjusted the lineup. Turner's leading off now instead of Schwarber, even though, you know, they had a .534 winning percentage with Schwarber as the leadoff hitter for these last couple of years. I think that the addition of Lizardo and the evolution of Sanchez, this team is sort of evolved into a better version of what they were the last 2 years. That's my thought.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that they've talked a lot about, and it's really difficult to have old dogs learn new tricks. But the fact that guy like Trey Turner goes from being one of the worst defensive shortstops to maybe one of the better defensive shortstops in the game, and you see a guy like Kyle Schwarber go from being a 190 hitter to a 250 hitter with all the, you know, with all the production. When you have older players making those sort of adjustments, a guy like Christopher Sanchez adjusting and becoming the player he's become, I think when you have old dogs doing new tricks and being able to become better and better players, I think that sort of sets the tone for the rest of the team. And I just see a lot of growth during the course of the season, not just by young players like Stott and Marsh, but guys who are veterans as well.
Yeah.
Well, that was the big question after last year. You know, we kept asking each other, we talked to Chase. They chase too much. But they're all, not all of them, a lot of the guys are over 30.
Mm-hmm.
Are they at a point in their career where not only do they have the will to get there, but can they, you know? And I think Trey has been, I think, almost the poster boy for the evolution of the team, because I think he changed the most, and him being at the top of the lineup, I think it's a good avatar for the rest of the team.
Well, it's better than I thought it was going to be, because it does give Schwarber and Harper protection together. Instead of them, you know, Schwarber being, and I was a proponent of having Schwarber lead off. I thought, again, that winning percentage, it told the story. But I think that moving Trey to the leadoff spot has paid dividends for this team. And I think he has been the guy that's improved the most. But I also think Schwarber's evolution against left-handers is also one of those things that, I mean, he's 30 years old. He's 32 years old, 33 years old. You know, and he's changed his approach against left-handers, and it was a huge impact this year.
And you have to give him a lot of credit, because a guy like Turner, I mean, you had Topper basically say, listen, we don't need you to hit home runs. We need you to be the Trey Turner that is best for you and us, to get on base, to score runs, to use your legs, to steal some bases, to get hits, and to score runs. And that's exactly what he's done. Mm-hmm. And you have to give that guy a lot of credit, because he could just say, okay, Topper, whatever, I'm going to go play my game. But he made those adjustments, and he's been one of the most productive players in the game, especially, obviously, when he's healthy. So you've got to give him credit for that.
Although it was funny when he didn't hit a home run at Citizens Bank Park.
It was very funny.
It was
the most crazy thing.
It's a good bit. Rube, what's the key to beating the Dodgers?
I think you got to somehow get deep into their bullpen one way or another. I think you're hopeful that the guys like Snell and Otani obviously is starting tomorrow. You have to try to get into the bullpen and get him to work. And you're hopeful that he doesn't throw a ton of strikes with his breaking stuff, because he throws 7 different pitches, and you just have to hope that he's not super sharp, because if he is, it's going to be a tough go. Mm.
It's going to take everyone in this lineup to beat the Dodgers, right?
Yes.
Correct.
So, T-Mac and Rube, even you when you call games, but T-Mac, I know you watch these guys pretty much from the start to the finish. Watching the bottom of this lineup develop, the Stotts, Brandon Marsh, what he's done since April. He went 0 for April, and then he's been on fire ever since. And then adding a guy like Bader, Would you say one of the sort of hidden strengths of the team could be the bottom of their lineup?
I think it has to be. I think it has to be because I believe that this bottom of the lineup is better than the Dodgers' bottom of the lineup. I think if you go get through four, one through four with the Dodgers, although it didn't really work for the Reds, you know, work that, you know, with the double down the left field line and then the bunt single, whatever it was, they called it. I think our bottom of the order is better than their bottom of the order. So if you match them up, I believe that this is where we have an advantage. Here, and I know this sounds strange, but also in the bullpen, too.
Yeah. You know what's funny is everyone could have done all these things right. Trey does what he does. Schwarber does what he does. But if Dombrowski doesn't trade for Duran and Bader, who knows where they are?
Totally agree.
Right now. And it's just so funny to think they tried to make the move for Crochet last year. It doesn't happen. And that just the difference between somebody accepting a deal and not accepting a deal can change the entire course of the rest of the season.
I know.
Well, yeah. And apparently that somebody else was already on Duran. I mean, it was at the last minute that they decided.
Seattle, I believe.
Well, and it was at the last minute they decided, you know what, we like Tai. You know, because they wanted Aiden Miller. So the Twins did, which I don't blame them. But then they saw, you know what, we'll take Tai. Like, that's, I mean, Tai's going to be a really good player, I think, down the road.
Let me just say this. For them to not have traded Painter, Miller, or Crawford in that deal and getting Duran is insane.
Right.
I mean, it is absolutely brilliant. And, you know, it speaks to a lot of things with the Phillies organization. But that was a hell of a deal.
Rube. Back in 2010, right when you guys are facing the Giants, and they have Javi Lopez coming out of the bullpen. In game one, Charlie decided to leave Chase and Ryan back to back. Game two, he split them up. Would you stick with it early in the series, or as it goes on, would you consider splitting up Schwarber and Harper because they do have Tanner Scott, they do have Vezina, they can bring Kershaw, they can bring Dreyer? Where do you kind of stand on that?
You know, I actually wrote down a couple of different lineups because I, you know, put myself in that position, and I actually did split them up against left-handers.
Really?
I did split them up against left-handers, not against righties, but I did split them up against lefties with Schwarber hitting in the four-hole. And, I mean, that's just in my head. That's not going to happen, I don't think. And, you know, I trust Topper because I think he'll make the right decisions. But, you know, listen, the bottom line is this. If they make mistakes and they capitalize on those mistakes, then they'll be fine. If they don't make mistakes and they swing through a lot of these breaking pitches off the plate, then it's going to be troublesome. It's as simple as that. Mm.
Jesus Luzardo will join us in the next 10 minutes or so.
Luzardo.
Luzardo.
We haven't talked about the amazing...
It's a good moment by us.
It's amazing. So, you know, Rube has been here since 3:30. T-Mac, you joined at 4. We haven't mentioned Bryce Harper's name once, which is pretty amazing considering he is the, you know, the face of the Philadelphia Phillies. He had a good year. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a time during this year where he really heated up and he felt like he was carrying the team. Where do you think Bryce is in his trajectory as a player, like in his career? You know, it's really hard to figure, you know, is he this player for the next 2 or 3 years? Is the Bryce maybe from a couple of years ago, is that still in him? Where do you see Bryce in his career trajectory?
I still see the old Bryce in him. I really do. And I think, you know, these moments, I mean, he lives for these moments of being in the postseason. So I'm excited to see what he does. I believe that the other Bryce is still there. The one that'll hit 300, the one that'll hit 35 home runs, the one that'll drive in, you know, close to 100 RBIs. I think it's there. I just think it stopped and started this year a few times. I think injuries plagued. I think that there were times where he was more banged up than he probably let on that he was banged up.
I mean, I don't know him implicitly enough to say what's going on in his head, but my feeling is, and it's just a feeling, is that as I watch him and, you know, watch Bryce Harper a lot over the last few years, I just feel like he's so focused on this time of the season and winning a ring that all the other stuff, whatever happened, you know, 162 games ago,
I don't think that matters to him. I think what matters to him right now is to put one of these on his finger, and I think that's where his focus is, and that's sort of the feeling that I get out of, you know, just having watched him play over the last several years.
Yeah, it reminds me of 22. You know, the season didn't go the way he wanted it. He was banged up in 22 a lot.
We have Zeus on the phone.
There you go.
So joining us right now on – let's see if again. I get it. Well, sorry. Joining us right now, Jesus Lizardo. Thank you for joining us, Zeus.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
So we actually interviewed you in Clearwater during spring training, and here we are talking to you as you gear up for the playoffs. Just a general question, what has it been like playing in Philadelphia, playing for the Phillies this season?
It's been great. I mean, I think it exceeded my expectations of, you know, fans coming every single night, selling it out. You know, it didn't matter if it was rain or shine or, you know, midweek or weekend. You know, the fans were always there for us, and the group of guys was, I mean, even better than I expected. It's been awesome. I've had a great time, and my family's really enjoyed it. You know, every time they come up to see me, and I've just loved it. It's felt like home.
You know, one of my favorite parts about watching you this year is how you kind of feed off the crowd. Is that accurate? And is there? Can you just not wait to be able to pitch in front of this postseason crowd?
Yeah, I mean, even when it's on the road, I feel like you almost take on the villain aspect of it, so you feed into that crowd. But playing at home is definitely a different animal. You know, I think that everyone here in this clubhouse rallies around. You know, when you see the fans get going, and you can almost feel the energy shift. You know, as they get going and as they get more and more excited. So I'm super excited to get, you know, a chance to pitch in front of this crowd, hopefully.
Can that be a negative sometimes, the feeding off the crowd, maybe getting too amped? How do you balance using that energy versus that energy sort of pushing you to a place where you don't want to be?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think, you know, it could at times, if you don't know how to control it, it could almost amp you up a little too much. So I think, like you said, there's a fine line, a good balance of using it to your advantage and allowing that to bring out the best in you, but at the same time staying under control and not trying to do more than what you need to do.
Jesus Lizardo with us. So you've had in the past have had some injury issues, but this season have thrown a ton of innings, and not just thrown a lot of innings, but actually from the way we look at it, it seems like you've gotten stronger as the year has gone on. What have you done, I guess, from a physical perspective to get here, and how do you feel at this point?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of work in the off season, and a lot of credit to our training staff and our strength staff here.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
As well, just doing such a good job of, you know, kind of the management of the workload in between starts and just priming us to get ready as ready as possible every fifth day. And I feel great now. I mean, I feel like you kind of said, I feel better now than I did early on in the year. And I just feel like my body is now accustomed to the workload. And I just, it almost feels free and easy for me on the mound. So I'm thankful for that. But yeah, definitely a lot of work, a lot of preparation, and, a lot of focus on recovery more than anything.
How have you grown as a pitcher this year, and how has Caleb Cotham helped you do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think Caleb, talking to some of the other, you know, veterans around here, you know, Ty, Nola, Wheeler, even JT and Marchand, just, like, the whole group has helped me. I mean, I've taken my lumps and bumps definitely here and there, and I think being able to bounce back from that and just understanding that sometimes it's going to happen, but just, you know, execution is king when you're on the mound, and understanding that the next pitch is the most important pitch. So I think that just keeping a level head and just keep pushing forward, that at the end of the day, trusting my stuff in the zone, and when I'm in the zone and letting it play and using, you know, the correct parts of the zone, that everything's going to work out.
Was there a mentality shift for you, like, in the middle of the season? Because you come out unbelievable first 10 starts, you know, and the ERA was right around 2. You had the two like crazy, you know, 20 runs in 2 innings. And then, like, really the last 7 starts, you kind of just, like, there was an uptick in intensity. And almost, he said, bleep it in a way. Like, was there a moment for you this season where it just clicked and you said, you know, I'm just going to let it all out there?
Yeah, definitely. I think I've said it before, just the straw that broke the camel's back for me was the Red Sox game. You know, I was cruising through 5, get out, and then just kind of falls apart on me in the 6th. And it was all, you know, my own doing. Just the walks, the self-inflicted, you know, injuries on my own part. And I think that after that game, it really got under my skin for the fact that, you know, it was my own doing, like I said. And I had to just get back to what makes me good and stop, you know, thinking about so many other things when I'm on the mound. And I feel like when I just went out there and stayed aggressive and just focused on the next pitch, like I said earlier, I think that that's when I really, you know, it kind of turned for me.
Interesting. Jesus, we know you're going to be a starter at some point in this first series, but I'm wondering, Rob Thompson, it may be one of these all hands on deck sort of things through coming through these first few games. And I'm wondering your mindset, if asked to come out of the bullpen before that start, is that something you've thought about and you would be prepared to do?
Yeah, I mean, I've thought about all the possible scenarios, and I'm, like I've said in the past, I'm ready to go for whatever. I feel, you know, confident, either a starting role or a bullpen role or whatever they need me to do, I'm ready to do. I've done, you know, the bullpen in the past, and I felt good from that position. So, like I said, I think it's all hands on deck. At this point in the playoffs, we just have one goal, which is to win a World Series. So whatever it takes for me.
It seems like Duran and Bader coming at the trade deadline added some juice to the team. We see what they do on the field, but how have those guys integrated themselves within the team off the field in the clubhouse?
Yeah, they've been great. I mean, you know, Duran is awesome. He's you see him throwing 102, 103 and blowing guys away, and he's really nice, kind of pretty quiet, you know, awesome dude in the clubhouse, and it's funny to see. It's, you know, he's a great addition, and Bader's also, you know, we like to call him a gift. I mean, he's just a ray of sunshine for the team. He always comes in, has a lot of energy, always, you know, uplifting and, you know, keeps it light, but also at the same time knows when to turn it on. So they've been great additions for us, you know, on the field and off the field as well.
Bader seems like a character.
Oh, yeah. He's awesome. He's got a good personality to him. You know, he's full of confidence, and he is who he is authentically. And I think that that's what makes him so great, that, you know, what you see is what you get. And I think we all love that about him.
All right, Jesus. Well, so happy, you know, when we talked to you at the beginning of the year, we were all so hopeful that you would have a great season. But I think you've exceeded all of our expectations, and the team has as well. And you have a tough opponent ahead of you, but we've all got faith in you. So hopefully you get through the Dodgers and you bring us a parade here in Philadelphia. Good luck.
I appreciate it. Yeah, thank you guys. That's all the goal. So hopefully we'll bring that to you guys. So thank you guys again.
All right, thanks. Thank you, Jesus. There he is, Jesus Luzardo.
That's a good kid, man.
Yeah, it was good.
He's such a good – he actually plays for my brother's team, or is part of my brother's team in Venezuela, in Maracaibo, Venezuela. He's with the Aguilas del Zulia. They said the first time they met him, they actually did a photo shoot at my ex's house in Parkland, right outside, near his home.
You got a lot going
he
on.
Said he was, he said he was an awesome. Yeah, I got a lot going on. He said they said that he was one of the most gentlemanly kids they've ever met. So that's awesome.
Yeah, he and his family raised almost $50,000 for the Boys and Girls Club this year with the strikeouts. That he accumulated, but also the food truck that he had out here a couple weeks ago. Pretty cool.
And he's put together pretty good.
I still can't stop thinking about it.
Yeah, he was wearing a sleeveless T-shirt when we interviewed him in Clearwater. You should have seen Ike. He was just
still got the picture.
Glaring.
He had some pipes.
Is that a further discussion?
You know, we're just being honest. We're just honest and free. We're comfortable.
Maybe on the round table. Yeah. Maybe on the round
table. That's a round table.
Honest, free, and comfortable. That's what the show is. All right. Well, we thank you guys for coming down.
Yeah,
today.
No problem.
Seriously, man.
This is awesome.
Some real baseball guys on the show.
Oh, yeah. Finally.
Yep.
Finally.
The big
That's
dumb
not
idiot.
Right, Jack. No, That's
no.
not right.
No, I know. We're all doing our best here.
All right. 215-592-9494. We are at the Red October Rally here at Stateside Live in South Philly at the Sports Complex. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
At one ball, two strikes. Looks back at second. The pitch. Swung on. Line down the left field line. And that's going to win it. Castellanos has done it. Turner is scoring. And the Phillies walk it off here in the bottom of the ninth. A game two victory, 7-6, as the Phillies come racing out of the dugout. Dancing around between first and second as Nick Castellanos has won the ball game.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Stateside Live in South Philly at the Sports Complex for the Red October Rally. Hey, tomorrow, the first 2,015 guests get a free Stateside cocktail starting at 2 p.m. in honor of Stateside being founded right here in Philly in 2015. I'm actually proud. When I see the Surfside cans on in other cities.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm like, that's Philly.
Yeah,
we're true. Spreading it everywhere. That's Philly.
Yeah.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers.
You also started Stateside.
Well, I didn't start them.
Yeah, but you got them on this journey.
We were the first advertising.
Exactly,
yeah,
right.
On the radio.
You give credit where credit is due.
Well, yeah, Ruben Amaro, you.
Yep.
You know? The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's wants to wish our team good luck this October. Experience the difference with showrooms in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. As the series gets closer, which are you feeling more confident or nervous? 53% nervous, 47% confident.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I thought Philly would be a little more chesty about this, to be honest with you.
We just need to get the first game.
Yep. Yeah. And then, by the way, if we win the first game, it's 99% confidence is what it is.
I appreciate the non-chestiness, though.
The honesty?
Yeah, well, I think it makes us a little bit guarded. Like a little guarded headed into the series. I think it shows respect for the Dodgers. I don't think it's fear of the Phillies.
Oh, look at this. The Philly fanatic is here.
But here's the thing that I would ask.
Look at that.
Here's the thing. Yes, the number one sports figure in town.
Yes, absolutely.
Fanatic. Here's what I would ask. What good does it serve you to be nervous going into the game?
It's just a little protection. Yeah. I know. We're going to get our heart broken no matter what.
Protection. Stop.
I know. I don't know what to tell you. But I guess it's my natural inclination is
well,
to
at
like,
least you admit it.
a little bit, just keep the guard up a little. Because when I get cocky, it's a disaster. That's when I let my guard down is when that everything falls apart.
What that's the thing about baseball and basketball, obviously hockey too, but the playoffs, winning one game doesn't mean you won the series.
No.
So you got to finish the series off, so you can't really get too cocky.
Yeah.
Now if we go up 2-0, then everybody will start strutting.
You got to close it out, though.
By the way, that's not even done.
It's not a given. No, it's not a given.
Yeah.
I'm excited, man. I really am. I'm going to tell you what it is. So here's what helps me out. We're already champions.
Oh,
my gosh. Oh, we get it. You couldn't go one show.
Oh, my God. We won the Super Bowl. I know.
But here's what I'm saying. This is what allows
me. You are unbelievable.
This is what allows me to not feel this anxiety.
But
yeah, because your team already won.
Well, no, this is my team as well. The point is that Phillies fans are Eagles fans, and the fact that we don't have this, we're never going to win, it always happens to us. Like, I don't have that feeling. I have more of a, if we get in position, we're going to win. Like, it's reversed for me now. I actually go into these games expecting them to win.
Yeah, I wish I felt that way.
Disappointed. That may happen. But I really do go into these games expecting them to win and hoping that they win.
And again, I expect them to win too.
Yeah.
Like I expect them to go and beat the Dodgers. I think it's going to be grueling. I think it's going
to
take...
I want you to enjoy it.
I'm going to try.
Oh, he won't enjoy it at all. He will. The only way that Jack will enjoy this is literally if they're in the fourth game of the World Series. They're up 3-0. It's the ninth inning. They're up 15-0, and Duran's on the mound, and there's two
they're
outs.
Strutting in.
At that point, Jack will finally watch the final out with us. That is the next time that we'll be standing next to Jack during a baseball game.
I will stand next to you guys tomorrow and Monday, but it's going to change if things are going awry.
Yeah.
I already told him I'm following him.
I know, which I really don't like. Yep. I don't like that at all.
With a kid, you got to do live stream. Yep.
Well, here's why. Because he's left us in the past and it didn't help.
That's a good point.
So him leaving us doesn't mean things are going to turn around. I got to stick to him, man.
That's a good point.
I got to keep his spirits up.
That is a good point.
You feel me?
Before we get Rios's hype speech,
he hates this.
We do have to hand out the belt.
Yep.
Let's do it.
That's my bet.
Oh, never a doubt.
Share the document with me. Yes. Share the document with me. Share the document with me. Oh, it's not even in the document.
The boss.
I got to give him credit on that one.
The top of the mountain. The WIP Afternoon Show presents the belt.
And in all fairness, we were kind of shaky whether or not we were going to do the belt.
Yep, but...
still buzzes.
Yeah. But it's not in the doc. I apologize, Buzz. That one's on me. So the belt we hand out every Friday at 4:30 to the WIP employee who brought it the most that week. Now, to take the belt, you have to do something better than the person who has the belt. So coming into this Friday, who had the belt? Hugh Douglas. After last year, his outrageous take that Jalen was calling plays in the second half.
Yes, last week.
Last week.
Yeah. The question is, maybe call plays the second half this week. Who knows? The question is, has anyone done anything to take the belt away from Hugh Douglas?
Hugh Douglas has.
Yeah, the answer is the only person who has done anything worthy is Hugh Douglas.
Wow.
Hugh Douglas keeps the belt after his A.J. Brown rant yesterday, which was outrageous.
He's on fire.
He was on fire. I didn't hear him at all today. I'm just trying to stay out of Hugh's way right now.
He mellowed down today.
Okay, all right, good. Congratulations to Hugh Douglas, who holds on to the belt. 215-592-9494. Rios in North Philly. You're on WIP. What's up, Rios?
What's going on, Hard Chargers?
Rios?
What up, Rios?
What's up, gentlemen? Nate, before I go in, I want to clear something up real quick. First of all, I did not know Ike don't do leg day. I did not know that at all when you said that yesterday.
Don't do what?
Two,
leg day.
That you don't do leg day. I didn't know that. And two, Spike, when I talk about skinny jeans, see, this is the contest I was saying. When I talk about, I was like, not doing leg day. It's these old head suckers in the club when you should be in the club, thinking they still young, when the young folks looking at them knowing you still an old dude. You know what I mean? But anyway, use the skinny leg jeans. When I say skinny, these Johns, they wear the Johns that look like it's like spandex on them, and they stagger their pants. I'm sure you're not doing that. You know what I mean? You know, you can have
he's not.
Jeans
he's not wearing them
fit,
like that.
Right?
Yeah, he's not wearing them like that.
And one more thing, with the leg day, me and my guys get on each other, but I say this, when you do leg day, it's a natural blue chew, you know what I mean? And then if you pop a blue chew, get ready for the blue tent, because somebody going in there, you know what I mean?
Okay,
because of leg day?
Hey, yeah, it's natural. But look,
all right.
Gentlemen, it's bloody October, ain't it?
Yep. It is.
All right, stay tuned. Hey, yo, Buzz, hit the music.
Oh.
2025, Philadelphia Eagles, the whole Love and Hip Hop reality sucker show needs to cease immediately. Lock yourselves, coaches and players, and call out everything. Don't hold back, stay in until it's fixed. By any means necessary, the truth and some blood will set you free. Speaking of blood, it's freaking bloody October, and Midnight Green knows what it takes to be champion. Y'all have to be there as a whole city and have our Philadelphia Phillies backs and exude with passion and violence so it can rub off on them and the whole city. It's playoff baseball, damn it, and a whole better than that is for our fighters to face in the first series than the previous champions, the LA Dodgers. It's the old saying, to be the champs, you gotta beat the champs. Well, gentlemen, Christmas has came early. What a great way to start our road to world champions. There's been a lot of talk in the city of scared of facing the Dodgers. Get away! We don't do that scare stuff in this city. It's battle time. This is the hand we dealt. All the pain from the past, people will get fixed. We put in the work. We ain't shy away from this journey. We pave our path. We welcome all negative and positive. Now it's time for our horror movie. Time to get ugly. Turn CBD into a place of terror. A nightmare on Broad Street. We're freaking built for this. We run the league, and we're coming to take what is ours, and ain't nothing anyone can do about it. We're painting the Dodgers' walls red.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The ball, make you never get felt. Blood on the grass applies here too. Bang, bang, anywhere, gang. The fires are coming out, thugging. No freaking respect from us, but we will get our respect. Blood will be inundated, because we will win by any means necessary. So get the blue tents ready on the baseball field too. Bryce Harper, the time is now. This is your team. You make sure every game your team's energy is on kill. Do it for your team. Do it for your legacy. Do it for the concrete jungle. And do it for your family. Also, do it for my brother Chuck from Mount Airy. The stage is set, and we need one away. Oh, what always you bet on is you bet on the freaking vet. So I, Spike, and Fritz, what makes the grass grow?
Blood!
I can't hear you!
Blood!
One more time!
Blood!
Let me tell you something. Hey, yo, Jackie, this was Seth Primo over the air. Tell me, what this mean to you, Jackie Baseball?
Blood!
What I said and did it, that's what you want. Let's go, Jackie Baseball. This is your day, getting people hyped. I am Rios from North Philly Hunting Park, a.k.a. the Saw Major of Philly. Violence gave me peace. Peace.
There he goes.
Whew.
Intense.
Did he ask you to scream blood?
Nah.
Oh, okay.
Nah. He was asking
what this means to me.
Yes.
And oh.
You gave us nothing.
I couldn't hear him.
Okay. Well, when he screams real loud and he's on
it
the cell phone.
It does cut out the phone. Yeah. Well, I must have screamed for a minute.
No, well, you could have gave us a couple lines.
Well, can I tell you something? Watching people listening to Rios I just imagine now. Now I'm imagining on a normal Friday when we're in the studio and Rios is doing that. I'm imagining people all over the Delaware Valley in their cars with their mouths agape, wide open, staring out into space as they are stunned by Rios. They had no idea what was coming.
We're just yelling blood.
Yeah, and we're just screaming blood.
Everyone's fine.
Yes.
I just want to make that clear.
Yeah.
Well, go about your day.
We think.
Yeah. But there's nothing to be afraid of.
Well, completely different vibe. Joining us now, the one, the only, Tommy Down the Shore.
It's Tommy Down the Shore.
Yeah, why? Yes, Mike.
Tommy Down the Shore.
I love Baloney.
Then he goes and says his piece. It's Tommy.
You know what I'm saying?
Down the shore.
Tommy!
Yeah, like, yes, Spike, yes, Jack. Big postseason baloney business, baby. Oh, man.
Oh, Tommy, you must be fired up. The Birds are 4-0 and the Phillies are going into the playoffs?
Oh, man. Birds are undefeated. Phillies in the postseason. I mean, this is just like a glorious time. I'm over the moon. You know what I mean? I'm completely over the moon. You know what I mean? It's incredible.
One more time.
Over the moon.
Yep.
Over the moon. You know what I mean? But I'm just saying, I mean, this is just so exciting. You know what I mean? Like, I was thinking, though, before we get into the Phillies and the Birds, I got a very exciting idea.
Of course.
I would love to share with you gentlemen very quickly, because it's a busy day. I know it's a busy day, right?
No, it's okay. You got a big idea. What is bigger than your big idea? What do you got?
Well, listen.
it has always been one of my goals in life to one day design a car, right? Automotive transport, a vehicle.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay. Yep.
So picture this. Set the scene for you. You're driving in the road, right? You see a Porsche. You see a Lincoln Continental. And then you see a Honda, right?
Yep, but nothing wrong with that.
See, those are all nice cars. But then you see a car that looks just like a sandwich. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like picture like two slices of bread driving top speed on I-95. You know what I mean? Put that image into your brain. That's what it's going to look like. You know what I mean? It's
so
called...
Okay.
What are you going to say, Spike? Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. What's it called?
It's called the Baloney Mobile.
Of course.
Wow. And do you think there's a market for this?
Of course. Listen, this is a market. This is the biggest market. Down the shore in Philly, we love sandwiches, right? Who wouldn't want to drive a sandwich? You know what I mean? Because the exterior of the car is like two slices of bread, right? And the interior feels like a slice of bologna. And the seats are like sliced pickles. You know what I mean? But
so
here's the most important. Here's the most important thing.
No, hold on. Can I ask you, is the exterior actually made of bread, or is it actually metal in the shape of bread?
It's metal in the shape of bread. The whole thing is it's designed to look like a sandwich, right?
So it's not really a sandwich. Okay, all right.
It's not really a sandwich, but it looks like one, and it drives like one. It drives just like a sandwich, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And here's the thing. This car is eco-friendly, right?
Of course.
It's eco-friendly. And it doesn't run on gasoline. It doesn't even run on electricity. It's going to take some scientific development, but this car runs on mayonnaise and mustard. You know what I mean? Mayonnaise and mustard, and it's eco-friendly. What do you guys think, man?
Is that sustainable?
Yeah, I'm not. Well, forget about whether it's sustainable. I don't know if it's possible. I don't know if you can have a car run on mayonnaise and mustard.
It's possible. It's a new form of fuel. It just hasn't been invented yet. That's all. You know what I mean? We gotta find the top scientific minds in research and development. You know what I mean? The entire car is like a sandwich. You know what I mean? It's like you're driving. And we got the SUV model. That's the Hoagie Mobile, right? So you could be eating a bologna sandwich inside a bologna sandwich, driving top speed. You could be eating a Hoagie inside a Hoagie, driving top speed. You know what I mean?
It's a lot of meat.
Yeah, you're going to need smarter people than us to figure out how to turn mustard into fuel.
Well, we'll get the scientists involved. We're just a team. We're the brains behind the operation, but we'll get the scientists involved. But here's the most important thing.
Okay.
We got to market and promote this thing, right?
Yep.
So I came up with a quick little jingle, and I was thinking, I heard the Fanatics over there.
Yep.
He would be the perfect spokesperson for this product, for this car. You know what I mean? Picture, like, I'm going to sing this little jingle for you guys. While I'm singing it, picture the Fanatic inside the Bologna Mobile hocking the horn, you know what I mean, having a fun time, you know what I mean, while I sing this jingle.
All right. Honking the horn?
Sing the jingle.
Honking the horn.
By the way, the Lincoln, what kind of Lincoln car? What did you mention?
Lincoln Continental.
Okay, yes. All right, okay. Yeah, sing the jingle.
Bologna Mobile, yeah. Get behind the wheel, yeah. Did you ever think you could drive baloney? Did you ever think you could drive in a Hoagie? Baloney Mobile, yeah. Baloney Mobile. You know what I mean? Quick and snappy. Quick little jingle.
I think that's good.
All right.
I think the only problem with the Fanatic being your spokesperson is that the Fanatic doesn't talk.
We just need the look. You know what
okay.
I mean?
He has
the right look.
Okay. Yep.
We can do the talk. We'll narrate the commercial, but the Fanatic, he's the star. You know what
yes.
I mean? He's the face of the operation. You
Absolutely.
Know what I mean?
So we're going to need two predictions from you. We're going to need a prediction for Sunday's Eagles game against the Broncos. We're also going to need a prediction for game one, Phillies versus the Dodgers, which is Shohei Ohtani versus Christopher Sanchez. So whichever order you want to do it, we need both predictions.
I'll start with the Phillies because that's a huge game. Listen, Ohtani is a great player, right?
Who?
But Ohtani. Ohtani is a great player. Nobody's disputing that. But he's coming into Citizens Bank Park. That place is going to be rocking. I think he's going to get overwhelmed, right? We got Harper. We got Schwarber. We got all these great hitters on our team, man. We got like Turner. We got Bader, right? And then we got Christopher Sanchez, who has Osweiler in his veins, right? He's got Osweiler in his veins. We're going to dominate. I'm going 7-2, Phil.
Wow.
7-2.
7-2. We put up seven runs and beat Ohtani. This city's going to be madness.
We will be peacocking, yeah.
And I heard you say Ohtani's name. What's his first name?
Shohei Ohtani.
Okay, all right. Just wanted to make sure. Yeah, okay.
He's an icon. He's the best player in the game, right?
Well, that's what people say, yeah. Even though when he's not pitching, you know, he just sits on the bench most of the game.
And he's going to get dominated.
He is going to get dominated. He is.
You know what I mean?
All right, so Eagles-Broncos. There's been a lot of controversy this week with the Eagles, with the A.J. Brown tweet and the way the second half looks. So what are you looking at for Sunday's game, Eagles and Broncos?
Well, sometimes controversy leads to progress. You know what I mean? And I think I can feel it in my veins. Like that one, right? Kind of philosophical.
A little deep out of you, Tommy. I'm not used to that.
That's right, Jack. I've been trying to reflect on life. You know what I mean?
Life.
Sometimes you got to reflect on life a little bit. You know what I mean? But I've been thinking this controversy is good because I can feel this in my bones. AJ is going to have a huge game. The offense is going to start clicking. All the naysayers are going to be quieted down. You know what I mean? I'm going 41-21 Birds.
Wow. 41 points?
You got no shot.
Yeah.
You are full of it.
Yeah.
Trust me, that's going to be really close, guys. That's going to be really close.
How many punt blocks for touchdowns are they going to have?
10. 10 punt blocks.
Okay, all right.
How many touchdowns? I think like maybe 5 touchdowns, a few field goals. Whatever gets to 41.
Yeah, whatever gets to 41. Yeah. Maybe score 41 points this month.
Yeah.
Feel it in my bones. It's just a feeling I got.
I know.
Tommy, you are a bastion of optimism, and we thank you, brother. We will talk to you next week.
Thanks so much, fellas. You guys are the best. I love you guys. I will talk to you next week. Go, Phils. Go, Birds. Tommy's over and over and over and over and over and over the moon and out.
Whoa.
Wow.
Buzz?
Wow,
now you know what I'm saying? Down the
shore. Just a C-plus effort from Buzz.
Well, last time you guys talked over the outro, so I didn't do it this time.
Oh, now you're talking over the outro.
Yep. Well, yeah, when was that? A month ago?
Last time I had him on, a couple weeks ago.
No way. We weren't here. We were at the studio on Fridays, you liar.
But there was one day you were on. I've had him on recently. I'll look back in the log.
You've had him on recently.
Okay. Well, I've been producing when you guys had him on recently.
Oh, my God.
What's your little Saturday show?
Yeah. How many years do you have to do this for, Buzz? Oh, you know what?
John Johnson called Buzz our intern, by the way, which is very disrespectful. And Buzz, that's not right. That's not right. We think of you much more than that.
By the way, the one thing I forgot to ask Ruben. I forgot to ask if he refused to host with Buzz on Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad you didn't do that.
I saw that in the show doc. I was gearing up for it.
Oh, I bet you couldn't wait to pounce on that question, Buzz.
All right. Well, coming up next, we have the top 5 at 5. Jack, what are we to expect?
Come on, man. We're playing all the great clips since 2008.
All right.
We're getting everyone.
08?
Yeah, listen.
How can you just stick to this year?
Because I want everyone to get a trip down memory lane because you know what, Ike? This year's going to end just like it did in 2008.
Oh.
I love it.
There you go. All right. We are at Stateside Live in South Philly at the Sports Complex, the former Xfinity Live, for the Red October Rally. Tomorrow, I want to remind you, first 2015 guests are getting a free Stateside Vodka cocktail starting at 2 o'clock right here at Stateside Live in honor of the great Stateside being founded right here in Philly in 2015. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.